We're going to talk today about something that to me is just really important. When the Lord brought this up, I thought, okay, Lord, this is good. For those of you guys that don't know, this weekend is Memorial Day weekend. Most of us know this. You know, Memorial Day weekend, we celebrate in honor of the men and women who have laid down their lives for us. Amen. For the blood that was shed for our freedom. So many people have gone before us so that we can experience the freedom that we have today. And, you know, it's one of those things that I tell people with holidays and events, it's more than just cookouts. It's more than just time off. It's more than a paid day off. It's really about honoring the people that have laid down their life for us and really remembering that. How many of you guys know Memorial Day is important? And not only is Memorial Day, but, you know, Veterans Day. Remembering Veterans Day. And I tell people, even holidays like Christmas and Easter, all of these things are important. A lot of times society has publicized them so much that we forget why we celebrate them. And I try to make sure to make mention of that so you let your kids know. So you remind yourself, you know, when you're having that cookout, the reason you're able to cook that burger is because somebody at 20 years old went to war and laid down their life so that you could be free. You know, and my dad served. My dad was in Vietnam, and my dad was willing to lay down his life for me. I'll never forget being a teenager. My parents took us to Washington, D.C., and I will never forget seeing that wall with all those names. Man, that hit me hard. And I never knew that much about it because my dad didn't talk very much about the war, but I'll never forget watching the men and women take the paper. And, you know, put the name and write the name of a person that died that they didn't even know was dead, that died in war. And that happened with my dad. Somebody my dad knew, he didn't know if his name was on the wall, found his name on the wall. And I thought, that man laid down his life, so I'm standing here at this wall. And it just kind of impacted me in a good way as a young kid because I never forgot. You know, in society today, we don't talk too much about sacrifice. In fact, we talk more about being selfish. We talk more about ourselves. But we forget that there's men and women that sacrificed. And not only was there men and women who sacrificed, but there was, like I said during worship, one of the most amazing sacrifices ever given for humanity was that of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ laid down his life so that you could live. He hung on a cross and took your place, and the blood that was shed, all of that was for you. And the reason you're able to sit here is because of the men and women that laid down their life for your freedom, but also because Jesus Christ laid down his life for your freedom. That's why you're not going to hell. That's a sacrifice. And so when we talk about that, I try to make mention of that because I want you guys to always remember that. I want you to know tomorrow when you're having fun and your day off, that's okay, but never forget. Just never. And I'm going to be adamant with teaching my son that. I'm going to be adamant with teaching him about the sacrifice that people have made, grandmas and grandpas that have laid down so many people before us. Amen. And when I was thinking about this weekend, the Lord said, talk to them about sacrifice. So I'm going to talk to you today about sacrifice in relation to you. You say, well, how does this relate to me? Well, we're going to get into it here. Most of the time, when I mention that word sacrifice, especially on a holiday like to this weekend or Memorial Day, we think of sacrifice in relation to the men and women that have laid down their life. If I mention sacrifice on days, it's not a weekend, a special event or something, and I mention the word sacrifice in church, most of us think what? Animals, bulls, and goats, and Old Testament. You know, we think about the sacrifices that were made in the Old Testament. We think about what men and women did back in that time. You know, we think about the fact that Jesus Christ sacrificed his life, laid down his life for us. When you think about sacrifice, though, here's something about it. Number one, sacrifice is selfless. It's not selfish. You ever notice that? When I think about men and women that go to war, what are they doing? Laying down their life. What did Jesus Christ do? Lay down his life. Selfless. When I think about sacrifice, it relates to others. It's more about other people. It's amazing to me when I talk to men and women that have served, how they don't like talking about themselves. You ever notice that? My dad never wanted to. My dad, it was like, when I was a kid, I was always like, man, it's like pulling teeth getting him to talk about this. Now, as he got older, and as I got older, I had an amazing opportunity. When I lived by myself, my dad came over and brought everything from the war and told me all about it, as much as he could. And he said, I want to tell you so you can tell Josh. And then I want you to tell your kid. So, you know, everything that we have, I was able to understand the history. I was able to understand the pictures. But my dad, he never wanted to talk about it because it wasn't about him. It was about what he did. It was about other people. And he wanted to honor others. And so, you know, a lot of times when we talk about sacrifice, we don't think about ourselves very much. But here's something about sacrifice. It always costs something. It always costs something. In the Old Testament, when they sacrificed animals and they had to bring them to the priest, it cost them something. It cost them an animal. It cost them time. It cost them travel. It cost them, might have cost them money. They might have had to buy that animal. Because how many of you know in the Old Testament, they had to have pure animals, spotless animals. There was requirements in the Levitical law that told them what they had to bring and when they had to bring it. It cost them something. It wasn't like it was just like, oh, this is nothing. No, it cost them something. And so I want you to understand this. Number one, to live a Christian life and to fulfill what God has called you to do, it's going to require you to sacrifice some things. Let me say that again. To live a Christian life and to fulfill what God has called you to do, it's going to require you to sacrifice some things. Look over here in Romans 12. Everybody got your Bible? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's look at this. Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about this. Now, this is a scripture all of us know. A lot of us grew up in church. We know this. We've quoted it here before. But how many of you guys know you can hear a scripture 1,000 times and get something new from it every time? Amen. So always just know that. Just know, okay, I've heard this, but maybe there's something I'm missing in this. Because I want you to hear this. And I'm reading from the Amplified. It says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your body, presenting all your members and faculties as what? As a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals, its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. So it says what? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Every single day when you are a Christian, you have to give up something that you might want to do in order to follow after Him. Let me lay it out for you this way. Every day, you have to choose to follow Him. Every day you have to choose which way you're going to go. You have to choose, do I trust the Lord? Do I want to follow Him with this? Am I willing to lay down my way? Am I willing to sacrifice what I think is for me, my way? Well, when you got born again, it's no longer your way, it's His way. It's no longer about you. When you accepted Christ, your whole life changed. It's no longer your agenda, it's His agenda. See, there's a difference with the call of God upon you. You know, every person in this room has a holy, anointing, gifting calling upon your life. That's different than your 9-to-5 job. That's different than your gift and talent. There's a call that God has placed you on this earth for a reason and a purpose. And in order to fulfill that, in order to live that out, daily you have to lay some things down. Daily you have to give up some things. Now someone might say, Pastor, you're talking about laying things down. You're talking about giving things up. Yeah, well, 1 Corinthians 3:16 says that you're God's temple, that he no longer is in the temple made with hands, but now he dwells in you. So when Christ came in you, like I said, it's no longer about you. Now it's about his way and his plan and his purpose for your life. So what happens is this. People might think, so you're talking about sacrifice. Are you talking about like we got to bring some bulls and goats into this church? No. If you bring a goat in here, I'm going to put it in the backyard and let it eat some grass, but we ain't doing nothing with it. You know, I'm not talking about bulls and goats. But what I am saying is this. As a Christian, you have to give up some things. Let me explain. To do something in this church and to serve is to give up of your time. To read your Bible and to pray daily causes you to sacrifice and give up your time. It causes you to shut off Netflix and spend some time with him. It causes you to silence something. There's giving up. I said this last week. I think it was the week before even. There's a letting go and a pressing towards every single person of God. There's a letting go and a pressing towards. There's a letting go and a pressing towards. You're always letting go of something, but you're pressing towards something. And it requires something. And so many people in society today are taught it's all about me. So we always want to know, well, how's this help me? And I get what they're saying, but yet if it's on the negative side and it tips too heavy over there, then it becomes all about you and all about what you want to do. And, well, I don't want to read my Bible. Why? Because it's uncomfortable, because I have to shut the TV off and I have to be quiet. It's called sacrifice. It's called you have to be willing to give up something. See, Jesus Christ gave up something for you. It's called he laid his life down. Think about this. All he says for us as children of God, accept me, trust me, lean into me, and spend time with me, and I'll reveal myself to you. It's not a bad deal, y'all. It's actually a pretty good deal. And it's daily. It's like people are like, but it takes 30 minutes. But that's the best 30 minutes of your day. See, we get together on Wednesday before church. And before Wednesday, it used to be on Tuesday. Before Tuesday, it was on Monday. We used to get together on those days, and we do now on Wednesday. We pray. Prayer takes sacrifice. Because why? Because I got other things I could do. what else could you do? I could do whatever. I could just not do prayer. But I know this much. I give up what I want to do, and I find out what it is that he wants me to do. His plan, his desire of my life. My desires have changed over the years. See, I found something out with serving Christ. It ain't about me all the time. See, this life is but a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. Eternity is what matters. You know, and a lot of times people think, well, but I give up things. Here's the thing. What you gain far outweighs what you gave up. It far outweighs it. So, you know, a lot of times we have to give up some things. Building a church requires sacrifice. Pastor Marvin gave up a lot to build this church. A lot of time, a lot of blood, a lot of sweat, literal blood, sweat and tears. I mean, he did. Him and Miss Leah gave up a lot to build this church. They laid a lot down. You know, but how many of you guys are grateful that they did it? Because of their sacrifice, this church is here. To become a better husband, well, requires sacrifice. To become a better wife? To become a better wife means sometimes laying down what you want to say and laying down how you want to act and laying down some things that you used to do and pursuing after him and saying, Lord, I'm willing to. See, we sing a song, Lord, clean my hands, purify my heart. But a lot of times that song has a parenthesis for most people. It says, of those things which I want you to touch. Clean my hand, purify my heart, parentheses, what I want you to see, what I want you to touch. But God says, I want it all. He says, I want it. I want it all. I gave it all, but I want all. He don't want three quarters of you. He wants all of you. And so, you know, to be a better husband, sacrifice. Come on. I mean, to be a better, you got to, like, as a husband, I mean, to be a dad, can I be honest? All the parents in here, grandparents, having a child is laying down your agenda. When that child was born, the second I touched Dax's hand, it was no longer about dad and all of his stuff. It was now about Dax and raising him and ministering to him. My whole world changed. So building a church requires it. Becoming a better husband or wife requires it. To be a better pastor requires it. To be a better church member requires it. You just gave up pretty much, some of you, when you tithed and gave, that's a sacrifice. You're saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm willing to give of my 10% back to you when your flesh is telling you the opposite. See, I always heard it said this way, and it's true, but the verse says, you know, a living sacrifice. The problem with the living sacrifice is it always wants to jump off the altar. You have to be willing to lay down yourself. You have to be willing to lay down your life. You have to be willing to say, you know what, this isn't about me. It's about him, his plans, his purposes, his pursuit for my life. And here's the thing, anything you've given up for the Lord, listen to this, he'll return it to you better than before. Somebody might say, well, is that biblical? Mark 10:29. Look at this. Mark 10:29 is, it's a shouting scripture because it's good. Mark 10:29. Jesus said, red letters, truly I tell you, there is no one who has given up and left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, verse 30, who will not receive 100 times as much now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come in eternal life. He said, you will be rewarded 100 times for what you gave up for him. When I became a Christian, I gave up some comforts that I used to do. And, you know, I found out that whatever I gave up, God always gave it back to me, and it was better. See, here's the thing. I moved away when I was 18 years old. Moved away from home. Took off on a jet plane on a missions trip to Mexico. For 2 weeks. Never been on an airplane. Never been on a missions trip. Never been to Mexico before that. And I went there on a missions trip. I went to Acapulco is where I went. I was 19 years old, 19, around there, 19, 20 years old. I gave up some things. And I remember giving up and getting on that airplane. And you know when I got on the airplane? December the 26th, the day after Christmas, when everybody's playing with their gifts and everybody's taking a nap and everybody's like, Christmas is so awesome. Playing my video games. Back then, video games just started taking off. Everybody was getting video games. And I was on a jet plane. And my mom was pressed against the window crying as I flew away. She was, because my dad said, get your act together. He said, he's coming back, Wanda, calm down. You know, Lord Jesus, my baby. Yeah, I have to remind her of that whenever she wants to strangle me in the parking lot after services, you know. You do remember, you cried when I went away, right? But, you know, I mean, I moved away. I didn't see my parents for almost a full year. I forgot what they looked like is how long I hadn't seen them. I forgot what my mom and dad looked. We didn't have phones like we do now. So, I mean, you're talking landline phone was how we talked. And the only way we talked was letter or email. So my dad and I would talk through email, and I would occasionally be able to call my parents. And I remember when my mom came, when I left, mom had long hair. When mom came to visit me, she had short hair. And I remember when I came home to visit on a holiday, my parents remodeled the whole house. I was like, y'all changed the whole house. But all of this stuff changed because I laid some things down and I realized that this was about him. There was a higher call for my life. And I was willing to give up a lot for the sake of the gospel. I was willing to say, I'm willing to sacrifice some things, some comforts. But you know what I found out? God has restored all of that to me. You say, how? Because after 12 years of being gone, he called me back home. And the relationship I had with my father and my mother now and my brother has been far better than it was before. The things I've gained far outweigh what I gave up. There were some sacrifices that had to be made along the way. You know, but I realized that what the scripture says, he will repay you and restore things back to you 100 times. I was blessed more than I ever thought possible when I came back. God is just showing me, you give up something for me. Notice this, he takes note of it. Hebrews 11:6 says that he is a rewarder. If you diligently seek him and you put him first and you press into him, he'll reward you. He'll reward you. So anything you give up, it doesn't go unnoticed by God. You might say, God, I gave up a good paying job to follow you. He takes note. Well, God, I did this and I didn't do this and I laid this down. He takes note. He notices all those things. And so anything you've given up for the Lord, he'll return it to you better than before. So the third thing is this, that God will give you what we read in our tithe and offering, the desires of your heart. So if you're going to live a Christian life and walk this thing out daily, you're going to have to learn to give up some things, sacrifice some things. Number two, anything you've given up for the Lord, he'll return it to you better than before. But number three, he'll also give you the desires of your heart. That's Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, something I found out with the desires of my heart, are you ready with this? God knows more about you than you know about yourself. And he knows what makes you happy, even though you may not know all of it yet. You know, there are things God will bless you with, and it'll make you so happy, you're like, I didn't even realize I enjoyed that. Now, there's little things you like my wife and I say, we're not beach people. I mean, seriously, if you're like, we're going to send you to the beach, I'm like, no, 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 no. Put me in a hill where it's cold and I can have a bonfire. I don't want to sit on the beach. Now, I know some people in here are like, turn the heat up and get the sun out, Lord Jesus. And I'm like, that's just not me. I mean, that's just not who I am. But that's a desire of their heart. But there are things that are there that I don't even know, and the Lord will bless me with it or show me something. And I'm like, man, I didn't even know that was there. Wow, God is so good that when you press into him and you spend time with him, here's what happens. His desires become your desires. His plans for your life become your plans. What he wants to do, it's like everything starts to change. And what happens is there's a change in you. And when you press into him, things around you change, but things within you change. And a lot of the things you give up for him, can we just be honest? A lot of the things we give up for him, a lot of those things are sometimes, not maybe, I'd say a lot, are fleshly. They're just things the flesh likes. You know, seriously, when you really get down to the nit and the grit of it, you know, giving up Netflix is flesh. I'll tell you a way to cure your Netflix problem. You ready? If you got a Netflix problem, cancel your subscription. But about the new shows. Well, you just won't know what's going on, but that's okay. You know? I mean, my brother, he laughs because we have subscription services, and some of them he's like, why do you have that? I'm like, it came with my phone. I don't even pay for it. It's just there. But I don't even use it. It's just there. But you know, there was a time where my wife and I, we canceled like down to like one. It's okay to do that. That's a fleshly thing. Do you understand? That's just your flesh likes it. You know, it's okay if you have to give up some things. Now, there's some things that you have to give up. It might not be fleshly. It just might be uncomfortable. I'll give you an example. If you want to get in shape, you might have to go to the gym. Thank you for coming to LifePoint Church today. The pastor will be in the parking lot. You know, you gotta change something. And that's like, okay, you ready? You gotta give up the extra piece of pie. That's fleshly. Yeah. And that's giving up something. But here's something I found out. If you give that up, the reward is far better. You say, what's that? You become healthier, and you can have a piece of pie every once in a while. It's called self-control. You know, that I mean, seriously, a lot of you are like, man, you came right in my living room. Could you step out of my house for a moment? You know, we could hit it if you're not a pie person, coffee. I'll tell you something to do. If you like coffee, you ready? Here's something you can do with coffee. If you have a thing with coffee and you have to give up something, every once in a while, quit drinking coffee for a couple of days. Just do it. You say, why? To tell your flesh that it's not in charge anymore. I'm not telling you give it up completely, like throw it to the dogs, because some of you, if you don't have coffee, I don't want to be around you. I would have to pray you into, like, you know, I don't want to be, my wife is a coffee person. I'm like, Lord Jesus, sometimes, and I drink coffee, but occasionally it's okay to say no to coffee. That's a fleshly thing. But it's uncomfortable to have to get rid of that. But sacrifice, when you do that, when you give up something for the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And here's something else he'll do. He'll give you strength for the journey you're on. He'll help you. When you give up things for him, he doesn't just tell you to give it up, and then if you mess up, to be like, well, you failed that one. I guess we won't do that no more. But if you give up something for him, he'll say, let's work on that if you pick it back up. And what you find out is he'll change your desires. He'll change the things you, here's the thing, as believers, we should always be moving forward. And the things you desired last year, you shouldn't desire them as much this year. And if you still do, there's some things you need to lay down. There's some things you need to bring to him. You know, if things haven't changed in your life, we've talked about this with your words and being changing your thinking. But some of the times we just have to be willing to lay some things down. Lay some things down. Just sacrifice it. Say, I'm giving it. I'm done with it. And don't do it no more. It's you know, can I be honest with you about giving up things, sacrifice for the Lord? Some people will say, well, I can't. I beg to differ. I'll tell you why. If we'll stick with the Netflix thing, because it tends to get a good rouse out of people. So we're just going to stay on that. God's obviously dealing with some people about it. So, but you know, like with Netflix, you might say, man, but I struggle with giving that up. That's hard for me. I can't. Somebody will say, I can't. Okay, here's the deal. If you gave up Netflix for 1 year, I'll give you $1.2 million. Yeah, right there. That's all it is. That's all it is. That's all it is. If I said to you, I will give you $1 million if you gave up Netflix for a year, you guys would be pitching your TVs. Here's something, ready? If you read your Bible every single day for 30 minutes for a year, I'd give you $1 million. You'd be cracking your Bible open every second, and you would be like, I read 35 minutes the other day, Pastor Matt. You say, why? It's a perspective. It's a change in your thinking. Quit talking about what you can't do and start talking about what you can do. Quit saying, I can't give up that. Quit saying, I can't give up pie. Quit saying, I can't give up the coffee. Quit saying, I can't let go of Netflix. Quit saying, I can't do this. I can't. Quit saying, I can't, and start saying, you can. You know, I can give up. Just say to yourself, I can give up Netflix whenever I need to. I can eat that piece of pie, or I can push it away. I don't have to have it. It's okay. I can do this. You know, I say that to myself. That's like I've told you guys, the second the Lord blesses me with something. And I say this not to, you know, I don't say it to be, you know, prideful or anything, but when the Lord blesses me with something, I usually will say out of my mouth quietly to myself, Lord, if you want me to give that up, I'll give it up instantly for you. See, I have, like I tell you guys, I have a motorcycle sitting in my garage. Haven't had a chance to ride it very much this year just because of my being a dad and having my son and everything like that, you know, and I just haven't had much time, and I'm trying to get back to it, which I believe in Jesus' name I will, because I love riding motorcycles. Ugh. But anyway, you know, but I've always told the Lord in that motorcycle in the garage, I always say, Lord, if you want me to bless anybody with that, I'll do it. Why? I'm willing to lay down anything for him. And you say, well, why would you be willing to do that? Because I know if I follow him, what comes back to me will be far better than what I gave up. Be so much better. You might say, well, what will you get? Will you get a motorcycle back? I don't know, but whatever I got back, God knows the desires of my heart. He knows what I like. And, you know, when we do that, it pleases the Lord. And that's one of the things you find out with Christianity. That's what God's doing in us. He's helping us let things go. He's helping us lay things down. He's working in you and changing the way you think and the way you look at things and how you perceive things. And what happens is you find out the things you've let go of, what you've gained is far better. Paul's a perfect example. How many of you guys know Paul in the Bible gave up a lot? Come on, like the guy was beaten, left for dead multiple times. I mean, he listed in the Bible of all the things that he went through. And he said this, I'm convinced of this thing, neither height nor depth, you know, nothing can separate me from the love of Christ or separate us from the love of Christ. Paul gave up a lot to the point of death. Paul was imprisoned. Paul gave up the luxury of living a normal life like everybody else. But Paul gave up what he gained was far better. What did he gain? Entrance into heaven. But because of Paul, we're able to find out we are the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're able to find out, I mean, think about how much he gave up, but what he gained in return. Because of Paul, half of the Bible is written. Because of Paul, he had probably he might have had glimpses of revelation, but he probably didn't realize the impact that his life was going to have on humanity. And Peter, praise God for Peter. Thank you, Jesus, for Peter. He inserts his foot in his mouth all the time. I can relate to Peter. You know, Peter, in the Bible, gave up so much to follow Christ. The men and women in the Bible that followed after Christ, they gave up fishing. They gave up a career. They gave up their stability, as the world would say it, to pursue him and follow after him. They gave up the comforts of their life and said, I'm willing to lay everything down for you. And Jesus said what? There will be a reward for you because of what they sacrificed, what they gave up. And I don't know about you, when I look at the lives of people in the Bible and all that they've done and all that they gave up, they sacrificed so much, but what they gained far outweighed it. I told my brother this. We were talking about heaven recently. And I said, dude, when you get to heaven, the things that you had on earth, it's not even going to matter. You're not going to step through heaven and be like, darn, what happened in that series on episode 6? I never got to watch it. I was like, you're not going to think about that. You're not going to think about the fact that you beat a video game or didn't. You know what you're going to think? Woo, I made it. It's real. I mean, seriously, you're probably going to spend the first 100 years just staring in awe. What are you doing? I'm just looking at that right there for a little bit. Seriously, none of the things of this earth, what is that song? The things of this earth grow strangely dim in light of his glory. See what happens? We get a perspective. We're willing to say, Lord, I'll give it all up for you. Because what I gain far outweighs anything I've let go of, anything I've laid down. It's just like that changes things. It changes your life. It changes how you live. So that way, when the Lord nudges you on a Sunday or midweek and says, hey, we need to work on this. We need to let this go. You'll say, Lord, I'll let it go. I'll let it go. I'll trust in you. See, you have to be to the place to where when he nudges you, you just do it. There's no hesitancy. There's no being hesitant. Too many Christians are hesitant. They're not obedient, they're hesitant. They wait. Why? They wait till it gets comfortable for them. But sometimes that's what sacrifice is. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. It's not hesitating. It's not waiting. It's just obeying quickly. Just obeying. And when he tells you to do something, you just do it. You got to get rid. You see that thing there in your house? Yeah, go bless so-and-so with it. Okay, well, here we go. But most people go, but that's my favorite product. What about What about that product, Lord? Let's bless them with that. That's better than that one. I didn't say that one. I said that one. You go do it quickly. You don't hesitate. You obey. You're quick. And you're willing to say, you know, it may be a little uncomfortable. It's a sacrifice. I'm going to have to give something up. But what I get in return is probably going to far outweigh what I gave up. You know, that's something that I've learned. I've learned that with myself. I've learned that in marriage. I've learned that in life, that, you know, some of the things we've had to give up. There's some things my wife and I have given up to pursue after God. There's some comforts. You know what I mean? But I know this much, where I'm at now and where I'm heading far outweighs anything I've given up. My wife and I, this has been, gosh, it's been 2 years ago or so. We were believing God. When we got married, we were believing God for a car because, well, I wanted a truck because trucks are cool. And I wanted a truck. And so anyway, we were believing God for a truck. And at that time we had two cars, and my wife was driving to Champaign and coming home. And, you know, long story short, we got blessed with a truck. Somebody blessed us with a truck. Just blessed us with a truck. It was amazing. I was like, wow, thank you, Jesus. So we got blessed with a truck. Long story short, we had three cars. And, you know, it looked real cool when you'd pull home and there's three cars in the driveway. It just looked cool. Like, we got three cars. You know, the flesh liked it. You know, the flesh was like, oh, yeah, look at you. Three cars in the driveway, living the American dream. Now to paint my fence white. Here we go. You know, white picket fence. And so I remember we had the three cars, and my wife was driving, and all of a sudden we both just kind of said, well, we don't need three cars because we can't drive all three. What are we going to do with them? We have a one-car garage, and we can't shove three in a one car. The math just doesn't work. And so we were talking about it. We prayed about it for a while. Long story short, we felt like we needed to give her car away. It was paid for. We were just like, it's just sitting in the driveway. So we prayed about it, and the Lord told us to give it away. So what are we doing? We're sacrificing. We're giving up something. So we said, okay, Lord, we'll do it. And so we prayed about it. Lord, who do we give it to? Like, who? Like, who needs this car? Long story short, somebody reached out to us, and it was through a church, somebody we knew, and there was an individual in their church that was believing God for a car, and they needed a car. And so what we did was we reached out to them, and we gave them a car. Now, here's what we did to be an extra blessing to them. We could have just gave them a car and been real good, but we did a one-up. See, I believe in going above and beyond because I represent Jesus Christ in everything I do. You say, what did you do? We washed and waxed the car, cleaned it inside and out, paid for a complete detail, got the oils changed, got the tires rotated, got the brake pads changed, threw extra money into it, and then blessed them with it. Why? Because the Lord told us to do it, but I thought, Lord, I'm representing you, and I want to do this right. And so when we were able to bless the person, we went above and beyond. Now, it was a sacrifice. Was it a sacrifice? Yes. Because your flesh wanted to keep it just because it looked cool in the driveway. But not only was it a sacrifice, but it was a sacrifice to want to go above and beyond on the paying for more things to get done. When my flesh was like, you don't got to pay for those. They don't even know. I said, but I ain't representing my flesh. I'm representing Jesus to this person, and he would do it with excellence. And I believe that if I give this up, then God will bring it back to me. At some point in my life, it will be restored back to me. And what I gave up is going to far outweigh what I gave up is going to be less than what I gained in the future. It's going to be better. And, you know, it was amazing. It's just like, I mean, I look at things different. I look at things as being a blessing and giving, you know, honor to God with what I do. And yes, it's a sacrifice, but I know God sees it, and my heart is right in it. I went to a church with my wife, and we had a fun worship night with some friends of ours that are youth pastors of a church. And we were there, and we were like getting hungry, and so we ordered some pizza because you got to have pizza in worship because that just goes together. And so we ordered some pizza, and the pizza guy showed up, and he showed up on time. That's first, like, that's an answer from prayer. Lord Jesus. And so he showed up on time. And My wife said, go pay for the pizza. Be a blessing to them. What are we doing? We're giving. And we're believing that what we give up, God's going to return it to us because he's blessed us enough. So what did we do? We went up to the thing, and I paid for the pizza. But you know what else I did? I tipped the guy's socks off. You say, well, how much did you tip him? None of your business. But I tipped him enough that I told my wife, if you see a large amount come out of the account, don't freak out. It was me. And you know what my wife said to me? Did you feel like you were supposed to do it? Yeah, then God will get it back to us. See, it's about sacrifice. It's about this weekend. We're thinking about that. I want to encourage you. You guys are giving up things. But continue to keep doing it. Don't stop serving God. Don't stop giving up things. Don't stop. Keep pressing towards him. Keep allowing him to show you. Keep leaning into him. Keep allowing him to reveal things to you. And when God taps you on the shoulder and tells you, we need to give up this, then you just go, cool, let's give it up. Why? Because what I give up, it's okay, I can let that go. But what I'm going to gain in return, it's going to be far better. Far better. You might say, but Pastor, I gave up Netflix. That hurt. Yeah, but you know what you gained? A renewed mind and confidence in yourself. A lot of the things we watch, we just need to quit watching. Seriously, like we just need to shut the TV off, y'all. Seriously, we just got to guard ourselves a little bit better. But it's a sacrifice. Because you're giving up something. Are you ready? You're giving up because what are you giving up? Well, your time. Yeah, I mean, you're gaining back your time. You're gaining back some things. But here's the thing. You might have friends that ridicule you because you don't watch their show. But that, I mean, that doesn't matter if you have to give up that. It's okay. Here's what I found out. You ready? It's okay that you can't talk to your friends about what the newest thing is on television. I had people, you know, I say one of the greatest miracles, I had somebody put this on Facebook years ago. They said one of the greatest miracles was this person had never watched one episode of the Kardashians. I said, neither have I, so I guess we're both walking in miracles. You say, why haven't you watched an episode? Because I don't need to know what they think, and I don't even need to know what they're talking about, because I guarantee it ain't right. And plus, I found out the people that want to talk about the Kardashians, I don't want to talk about it and hang around anyway, because they're not running the same race I'm running. See, you're called to live differently. You're called to act differently. But there's some things you will have to give up to pursue after him. But I just want to encourage you today, guys, when he taps you and asks you to let go of some things, just be willing to get rid of it. Be willing to sacrifice it. Be willing to say, Lord, I'm going to give it up. And believe God. Press into him and believe that he'll restore things to you. You know, if you gave up something, just believe God. Say, Lord, hey, I gave that up because I love you, but I believe that in my life you will restore it to me. You will. And God will. I tell you what, and what he'll do is he'll outdo you on it. That's what I found out with God. He'll outdo you. You say, well, how will he outdo me? If you gave up something, he'll bless you more. He'll bless you double. Yeah, I mean, if you let go of something, if you moved for the gospel's sake, he'll bless you. God notices things, y'all. I know that's probably not the best English, but y'all understand what I'm saying? Amen? So I just want to encourage you this weekend, let's just remind ourselves of the sacrifice that men and women have given. But let's also remind ourselves the greatest sacrifice given was Jesus Christ. But when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, he's asking us, are you willing to lay down some things for me? Well, when I became a Christian, I said, Lord, my life is the first thing I'm willing to lay down. That's what I had to do. I had to lay down my pride, had to lay down some things. So when I accepted Jesus Christ, I laid down and I literally said, when I was 18 years old, I said to myself, it's no longer my way, it's your way. And whatever you want me to give up, I'll give up. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. It may be uncomfortable. I may have to let go of some things, but I know it's going to be better. I know that you've got good things in store for me and that you will restore those things and that he'll help me. He'll give me strength to do it. And so I just want to encourage you, we're going forward. Amen. We're going forward. And let's believe God. Let's believe God. I believe God's going to, there's some things in this room, there's some things that God's speaking to people in this room to let go. He's nudging you. The Holy Spirit is nudging you. And some of it's little things. It's not necessarily huge. It's not like God's saying, get rid of your car, but he's just nudging you and saying, you got to let this go. You got to let this go. You just got to give that to him. The Bible says, lean on him. Trust him wholly. Be confident. Be confident in him. One thing you can be confident of is he's got good things in store for you. And if he wants you to let it go, understand this and hear this. It's not to hurt you. It's not to harm you. It's to help you. It's to bless you. It's to make your life better. Better. And that's the thing. Some of you in this room, you've been asking God for better. You've been saying, Lord, I want better in my life, in my marriage, my relationship. I want better. And God's saying, but we got to work on this. We got to let go of this. We got to get rid of this. And if you just get rid of that, he's going to help you. He's going to show you. There's going to be things that will happen in your life that you thought were never possible. There's going to be some good things that are going to come future tense down the road. And so this morning, Lord, if there are things that you're speaking to people here today, I know there are people in this room you're speaking to right now, Lord, because you're putting it in my heart. Lord, I pray that you help them, strengthen them just to let go of it. Let go of it. Let go of it and lay it down and leave it. It might be uncomfortable. It might be a little, you might be nervous because you're like, but Pastor, that's a comfort to me. Let it go in Jesus' name. Let it go. And Father, I thank you that as they do that, there's strength there to hold them, to steady them, to help them. And Lord, I thank you that as they give up things for you, as they press towards you, thank you, Lord, that you are a rewarder. Lord, give these men and women a glimpse of what lies ahead if they just let go of it. If they just let go of it. Lord, just give them a glimpse of it, Holy Spirit. A glimpse, a taste of it. And Lord, I thank you that that right there will empower them, strengthen them. Lord, be with them this week. Lord, be with them on this journey. And I thank you, Lord, he who started a work in them will bring it to completion. You're not done working in them. You're helping them. So, Lord, even for myself as pastor of this church, if there's anything in my life I need to lay down, Lord, show me and I'll let it go. Lord, if I need to change something, if I need to let it go, help me in that area. And I thank you as you help me, you help the men and women in this church. And Father, I believe for them that you've got great things in store for them. And their future is bright. It looks good because they're serving you. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name.